The Yum Podcast is brought to you by Emma, email marketing that works for you.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Yum Podcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Oh, sweet Lord in heaven.
Just as sweet as your morning coffee, this is the Yum Podcast.
I'm all shifting. My chair made tons of noise. I don't know.
We're actually on. No. This is the unofficial unpodcast intro. She's Allison.
So much more professional than the regular unpodcast intro.
Wayne Barbarino behind the board, back there, in silence as usual, the way it should be.
Don't drink your coffee while we're recording. Oh, God.
I find some of our listeners are enjoying a cup of Joe themselves, and they enjoy...
They don't want to hear you slurp, even if they're having their own coffee.
But they now know it's like we're having coffee together. No, that's one of the...
Everybody's... Allison. What?
It's one of the things people say about the show. It's like we're sitting down having a beverage with you. Now, they might think it's alcoholic.
Which it never is. But I don't understand. Like, no, please understand. Every single person slurping in the universe is irritating. Except the sound of yourself drinking something.
That should go on the list.
It's true.
The jackass was...
Don't talk about the list. Sorry. It's still top secret.
Okay, sorry.
We are compiling no list.
No list is being compiled. Brought to you by Emma. You deserve a better email marketing platform.
They never slurp their coffee over there. They're silent sippers.
Oh, they do.
No, they don't.
I've seen them. It's going to get cold.
Stop. You could have drank it before we started recording. That was available to you. You had that.
No time. We got things to do today. We got luxury ice and man tissue and data breach rules and memes making people fat. Oh, what a show.
Yeah, it's incredible, actually.
I am actually blown away myself, and we haven't even started yet. We can't start. We're done. It's too much. We've gone overboard.
Is luxury ice like diamonds?
Well, let's find out. From Business Insider. A California company sells luxury ice cubes.
Oh, it's actual ice?
$325 for 50 ice cubes.
Wait, say it again?
$325.
For how many ice cubes?
50 ice cubes. It's got to be, what, just a hair over $6 an ice cube.
It's like one meal at our house.
If you're drinking top shelf liquor, you better be enjoying it with top shelf ice.
No.
That's the idea behind a California company that sells luxury ice cubes, $325 for 50. That's $650 per ice cube. There you go. Glace Luxury Ice says that its ice is of higher quality than regular ice, which is made with local tap water and may contain impurities and carcinogens, resulting in poor tasting and potentially unhealthy ice, according to the website. Well, according to that, you may die. Glace ice, on the other hand, is purified and protected in a resealable package, which ensures its purity, according to the company.
Of course it has packaging, too. Like, it's not bad enough. It has to be terrible for the environment.
Our elegant design provides minimum dilution.
How do you elegantly design an ice cube?
And maximum cooling, greatly enhancing enjoyment.
Maximum cooling. They are not claiming that their ice cools things better than regular ice.
Yep. Glace luxury ice provides consumers with the top shelf choice for ice that matches their premium spirit selection.
Come on, people. You have that much money. Well, Give it to charity.
There is some science to the what is it? Like a whiskey. You ever seen the ice ball? Before you put it, it's like a large ball. It goes into much more surface area. Therefore,
King cubes.
Yeah. King cubes, is it?
Actually, little ice cubes have more surface area. A whole bunch of little ice cubes have more surface area than one giant ball of ice.
Yeah, we're not drinking Fireball or something like that. We're having Johnny Walker Blue or Green, Yellow,
looks.
Whatever the big one is. What's the expensive one?
Probably black.
Why do we keep looking at Wayne for accusing
alcohol?
That's
the way... That has to do with the way it looks. It's not more surface area. That's not true.
It doesn't water your drink down. Right. Small cubes melt faster.
Because they have more surface area.
Right. So I'm looking for is less surface area. Less melt. A better melting point for my cognac.
Oh my gosh. People, you have too much money. Give it to charity.
Do you put ice in cognac? I don't understand it. We don't really drink, so I don't
Why
really
did we
know.
Even choose this article?
It's
we
fantastic.
Don't have anything.
Look what it's done. It's rejuvenated the show. We were on a lull. We were on a lull for a while
there.
Well,
we had some serious stories last time.
Yeah, and now we're back. It has caused fireworks.
We have no serious stories this time.
Fireworks.
Well, I would never buy...
Do they ship it frozen? Or is it coming in the packs
and you freeze
it? It is. That's what I'm thinking. It's just a packs of water and you throw it in your freezer. Self-freezing, they call it. I got to see if this crap is frozen or not.
Do not order that ice.
Just one?
No.
It's $3.25. Spawned, brought to you by Emma.
No. Emma doesn't want their money to go towards ice.
I'm going
to
take a $325 of their sponsorship and buy a pack of this
no,
ice.
No, they're not. Emma, don't listen to him. Glaced luxury ice. I'm not going to let him buy any ice.
Put it on.
What's
the customs and duty through Canada for ice? What do you have to declare, sir? Water for gullible people.
So
I need some ice in my coffee.
Kleenex. Mm-hmm. So we talk about, we went on quite a run, maybe like a year and a half ago, talking about gendered products. I think because we wrote a whole section, two sections actually, in unbranding. Mm-hmm. One about products for her, one about products for him, and how insane this marketing ploy is and how often it backfires, which is just like constantly. So this is an article from USA Today, and it says, Kleenex to rename man-sized tissues to extra large amid complaints of sexism. Kleenex is rebranding... It's newly rebranded, man-sized tissues, amid cries of sexism from consumers. The new name, simply Kleenex Extra Large. That's according to a statement from Kleenex's Texas-based company, Kimberly Clark. The tissue's Titan man-sized product hit store shelves 60 years ago in the United Kingdom, the company said, pitched as a disposable alternative to large cotton handkerchiefs, popular at the time. And, I understand. I'm sorry. I read that weird. So it... In the United Kingdom, they had this larger size for many, many years, for 60 years, actually. And then they decided, well, maybe our American customers would like it. Let's call it man size. And the box in the picture on the article is like black and then gold and gray. It's very masculine colors. And it says man size, confidently strong, comfortingly soft underneath it. And apparently people did react well to this, which to be expected. So they are—they're going to be rechanging, rebranding once again back to large size Kleenex.
See, the origin story makes sense with a handkerchief pocket square type of thing. Still doesn't have to be called. I don't think they called it man size over in the UK, right?
They sell them here.
Yeah, they sell them here.
Larger
yeah,
size ones.
Yeah. What man? I've had some man size snots before. Let me tell you. Tell you what.
I don't like this episode. Like,
where
I
regular
feel like...
Kleenex or tissue won't do the job. I need a Man-X. Man Kleenex.
I just think I would. What I really want is for companies to stop doing this at all. Like,
what's the phrase? Is it operated with your genitalia? Yes, then it can be a gender product. No, it's not a gender-based product.
Yeah, it's just it just do sizing. Maybe some people like to have bigger Kleenexes than other people. Sorry, Wayne needs to take a break.
I know what Wayne's on. He's on a man-sized thought right now. I hear you. I hear you,
I'm
buddy.
I'm so sorry for this episode.
We
can
should
we
talk
just
about
take
this
a minute,
over some pure
listeners,
ice.
Listeners, I'm going to distract Scott for a minute and tell
this
you how
Wayne
sorry
I
am
some
about
high-end
this,
ice, some
about
man-sized Kleenex. What a good day that's going to be. Coming to Nashville real soon.
Do you have a real story? This is crazy.
Nope. Okay, I do. From the Globe and Mail, leave it to the Globe and Mail to ruin everything today, which is one of the national newspapers here in Canada, or news organizations, if I say. Which is actually really interesting, because in Canada, November 1st, new rules went into play. They're for data breach rules. So when companies, you know, have these giant data breaches with customers' confidential information, they're supposed to tell people, I think.
I assume they are.
Canada said, well, now you got to. So new rules mandating how Canadian companies respond to data breaches come into force November 1st, but many businesses won't be ready. Starting November, Canadian private sector organizations must report breaches involving personal information to the Office of the Privacy Commissioner of Canada, OPC. Are you down with OPC? Yeah, you know me. And notify all individuals affected, provided the event poses a real risk of significant harm to those whose data has been compromised. Organizations must keep a record of all breaches of security safeguards for 2 years, even if those episodes don't meet the threshold for reporting. Failure to maintain records or report a breach can result in a fine up to $100,000 for each offense. Many larger and mid-sized organizations have been getting ready for the change for some time, says Alex Cameron, chair of the Privacy and Cybersecurity Group, Faskin Martineau de Moulin, LLP. However, we have observed that there's a very large segment of the private sector that is not prepared. The new rules come at a time when concern about data privacy is mounting and when some companies have been reluctant to disclose breaches. Uber Technologies Inc. did not start notifying 815,000 Canadians affected in a massive 2016 hack until after a ruling from Alberta's privacy commissioner in February, years later. Alberta is the only province to already mandate such disclosure outside of a healthcare context. Canada's regulations come after the European Union's General Data Protection Regulations, the GDPR, a stricter framework that took effect in May. Companies can be fined up to 20 million euros or 4% of global revenue, whichever is higher, for violating the regulations. Canadian companies with global operations will likely already have more stringent data policies in place as a result of GDPR and can more easily manage the changes back home, but not every firm has made data security a priority. So
I'm surprised that we didn't have something like this in place already. This seems like a good law to have.
Well, it's just, you may feel differently, but it's only really recently come in the forefront, like the Equifax thing and the Uber thing and
which makes you think of how many of them haven't reported, right?
Right. And you just like, would you willingly say something to people? I think there's like a certain part of the like SEC filings when you have this type of thing, you've got to disclose these certain things.
Well, I think if we're going to say that identity theft is dangerous, poses physical, economic, emotional danger, then they should have to. It's like if something goes wrong in a car company, they have to let everyone know that they're having a recall. They have to let people know. If you have a food product and it gets some kind of contaminant, no one wants to tell all their customers that, oh, by the way, you could have eaten this, but you have to. And we've seen companies have to shut down and build new, right? I mean, your identification is valuable.
Of course.
And it can have real world effects having it stolen. And so people should have to know. Yep. So I think it makes sense. I'm glad that it's a rule.
You know who protects your data?
Who?
Emma. Well, not yours, your subscribers. Because you deserve a better email marketing platform. The place that cares about your data, about your subscribers, about your email. Followers, friends, family and friends. They better all subscribe. If not, just opt them in. But not on Emma, because you want to make sure they're confirmed. There to help you out. Go to myemma.com. They will take care of you in all your email marketing needs, including being compliant.
So this article is from CNN, and I'm fascinated. So the title of the article is Memes May Contribute to Teenage Obesity, lawmakers told. It says, in mid-September, the European Parliament passed a new copyright law that some have dubbed a meme ban. Then Sweden's advertising watchdog ruled that the popular distracted boyfriend meme is sexist. Now academics have told British lawmakers that internet memes may be contributing to the UK obesity crisis and doing harm to teenagers on a significant scale. Memes carry dangerous health-related messages and make light of unhealthy eating habits, researchers from Loughborough University wrote in a letter to the British Parliamentary Committee. It says, a substantial number of individuals on Twitter share health-related internet memes with both positive and negative messages, they wrote, noting that many contain inappropriate material. A picture of an overweight child with the caption, free food, count me in, was sent along with a letter as an example of a meme that researchers found dangerous. The academics were also concerned by a meme that created a human-like body from pictures of pizzas and hamburgers with frankfurters used for limbs and a smiley-faced potato for a face. The body was captioned me and placed alongside images of three well-defined bodies for comparison. The vast majority of sharers displayed little, if any, emotion when sharing these memes, the academic commented. How do they know?
I don't know.
Okay, so I read this, and we have kids, and so I try not to be too closed-minded to some things. And I know media, certainly, in general, like, it doesn't need to be memes, like glossy fashion magazines and all these kinds of things, that images of beauty and ideals of beauty or making fun of people who don't fit into those ideals of beauty have been around for a long time. It's not new. I like that we're having a conversation about it because I think that when you talk about things like this, like between the academics and the policymakers and the people and things, that the conversation is good because it's a bit of a Wild West situation where things happen. And just like the law we just talked about in terms of like, you know, the security breaches and people's, like, these things are evolving so quickly that we want to make sure we're talking about them and learning about them as they go so we can try to keep up. I definitely think there's a lot of memes out there that could be considered sexist, that could be, you know, have negative body image things to the other extreme, right? Of like anorexic kind of stuff all the way to, you know, what they're talking about with this making fun of a little kid. What do you think, though? Like, how do you rein something like this in?
Well, the first question I have is, are the memes dank? Are they dank memes? If they're dank memes,
I was being really serious. Like, I had serious, I really wanted to know your advice.
Well, the thing is, you can't, a meme is created out of the lore of the internet, right? Where it's like...
Sometimes, not always, yeah, I guess.
It's created, somebody created it somewhere, usually Reddit or something else, and they slap on, for those who are listening right now, doesn't understand what a meme is. Most of the time, an internet meme is a picture with text across the top and or the bottom, saying something. You have the Kermit the Frog tea one, which is like, well, I think this, but it's none of my business. And he's drinking a Lipton tea. There's a Willy Wonka one. Tell me more about how you suffered doing this.
The boat one is my favorite, with the cat in the suit reading the newspaper.
Right, yeah.
That's my favorite meme of all time. What does he say?
It's a cat with a suit on at the breakfast table with a newspaper saying, I think I should buy a boat.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite meme.
Which
ever.
Is the top of
but like
I think
most
all
of it's very silly. Yeah, like it's not, I don't people, think PETA is going to come out and say, like, how could you dress your cat up in a suit?
But cats then you have the obsessed girlfriend one, the bad, I can't remember his name, the guy with the sideways hat, and then the bad luck kid.
Have you seen some of those? They've been a few people, they've done like mini documentaries on the person.
Yeah, they found them. Yeah,
famous because they happen to be like that
And GIFs become memes now at this point now, and where we're at now, where it's an animation thing. You have like that kid looking, like his eyes darting back and forth or something. Yeah. I overly use that one. And so you can't control any of that stuff. And then if you try to do something about that, you create not really the Streisand effect, but something like now it's going to be more popular. One of the dangers of memes is the I think it's Pepe the Frog, which was a very large meme. That cartoon frog with giving that little creepy kind of grin has now turned into a white supremacist symbol.
Yeah.
Only in the past couple years.
But you don't have control over that in some ways. As a society. Like anyone can pick anything as their symbol. And if it gets big enough, that's what people are going to be known for. Yeah. What I do like about this is that I don't think the images that kids see are harmless.
Right.
And so I do like having the conversation around, okay, so what is this gonna look like? Like, what's gonna be okay? What's not gonna be okay? Where are we gonna set parameters around these images and where they're gonna be allowed and all kinds of
things?
But
I think that I don't think you can set parameters or anything.
You can though, because you can know what your kids are looking at personally. So as a parent, you can have that conversation with them. Just the same way as if they're gonna look at fashion magazines, like young women who look at fat, like you can have that conversation with them. You could, as an adult, can be familiar with what your kids are looking at, so you're not that old person over there. And so you can have a conversation with them about these things and what they mean to see different images and how that affects people. And how does it affect like growing up with like music videos and the way it's in terms of the sexism bit, the way women can be projected in music, growing up watching that, that has an effect on you. And so I think the memes can be the same way. And so I like having the conversation. And I think as a parent, you should be involved in what your kids are seeing and talk to them about it. I know some schools have different, like you can't go on Reddit, I don't think, at our kids' school. Like they have pretty intense, on the Wi-Fi, they have pretty intense lockdowns on the Wi-Fi, which I think is good because it's distracting. And I also concern myself with like, who are these people? Like what if your daughter became a meme because someone caught a picture of her on a certain day doing a certain thing and all of a sudden she's famous? Like it's such a power. And it's such a megaphone that I do think it's important to talk about it because people, we see athletes get caught in the middle of something and all of a sudden it's a meme or someone makes a hysterical laugh or someone's holding their hands weird at a award ceremony. Oh, like weird finger. That's a meme. Yeah. Like, you know, it's fun. And most of the time I think it's okay. But I do think it's important to have these conversations like what they're doing in Europe with, okay, so, but where are we going to, what can we monitor? What can we keep an eye on? Because I think it's important. I wouldn't want to see any of our kids become that. And it's too easy for it. It's very easy for it to happen.
I don't mind being a meme myself.
No, but you're you and you're an adult.
And one who enjoys the attention.
Yeah, and highly and photogenic and kind of goes out for it. Don't think I would want to be. Like, I don't think that would be something that would be...
What did you say I was? Sociopath? Is that what it is?
I would never.
Sociopath, like one of those... type of things.
A lovable sociopath.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't hurt anyone.
I assume that was a compliment.
It was.
No, that was a negative.
As long as
as it's about me.
Like, you're not.
That's all that matters, really, right?
That pretty much explained it perfectly.
So, from this sociopath.
Is meme a made up word?
I don't know.
I think it counts.
The origin of the word meme. Or is it memes?
Memes. We should have called it memes.
Could have been memes.
Memes, a gif of a memes.
You know what you know what really grinds my gears, to quote Family Guy, is memes not being used properly. That's my problem. It's usually brands doing it or somebody's aunt on Facebook. They'll use the Wonka meme, yeah, which is supposed to be da 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 da. Well, tell me more about this, which is like, tell me how hard your life is. You had to walk to school, tell me how hard it is to, you know, to walk 100 feet. Like that type of thing. People just start putting any text on it whatsoever. It's ridiculous.
I'm going to do it all day tomorrow just for fun and see how long it takes.
Don't you dare.
For you to snap.
Don't you dare. I will sip coffee right beside your ear in your sleep if you do that.
You're scared of me when I'm sleeping. You would never do that.
Because you strike me.
I don't.
And then you say, this I was sleeping.
Episode, seriously, I don't even know if we should say that this episode is brought to you
once
by
it
Emma.
Was in the middle of the day. You walk by, punch me in the face and go, I was sleeping.
Ever. We need to end this now. It's over.
Consider it done.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.